The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05 p.m. It'll be Mick Norton, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Gareth Topham in the studio. A good Saturday to look forward to as well. We have a good meeting at Ascot and another one at Haydock as well. Two great jumpers to look forward to. There's also jumping from Taunton. There's all-weather action from Lingfield as well, and plenty of racing to go at on Saturday. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark. Just about to go and build an ark, I think.
A lot of rain down there then, yes?
Yeah, masses of rain, 12, 13 mil overnight. I was out in the car early this morning and just absolutely flooded everywhere. So, yeah.
You'll have to get yourself a canoe.
Yeah.
So that's going to play havoc with the likes of Ascot then, isn't it? It's going to be testing, to say the least.
Yeah, I would be looking at sort of conditions that we saw. Maybe the, you know, just before Christmas, that Ladbroke hurdle, that was pretty bad, wasn't it? And I'm just looking on Twitter here, people sort of posting pictures of what Lingfield looks like today. It looks more like the seaside. So you'd expect, and obviously that Haydock is saying the ground's heavy as well, so you're pretty sort of testing all over the country, really.
Yeah, I was speaking to Ken Peterson this morning. He's gone to Lingfield for us on Friday, and he said that the only bit of the course he can see is the poly track, and everything else is underwater, which is remarkable.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of travel problems as well getting to Lingfield today. I think sort of Southern Trains are having an absolute mare. I think it's sort of been even, I mean, we had it bad overnight and early this morning, but I think sort of further south it's been even sort of worse. But interesting. Of course, this time last year we were all under snow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stark contrast.
It is. Anyway, that's enough about the weather. All I will say is just make sure you check that your horse is going heavy ground, because you're going to need that on Saturday. But we're going to talk about the racing, because there's some really good racing to look forward to on Saturday. A few good races at Ascot, and we've obviously got the feature race there, which is the Clarence House Chase, which is a Grade 1, and looks at a very good renewal of that race as well. Champion Hurdle Trial at Haydock as well, that's another race we're going to look at. So a really good Saturday to look forward to this weekend.
Yeah, it's brilliant. We're very much on the road to Cheltenham now. What is it now? Is it eight weeks? Something like that?
Yeah, something.
Just action comes thick and fast here and across the sea. And, it's the time of year where you're just kind of flat out, really, isn't it, in this game? So.
And let's look at Saturday's racing then. Ascot, the first race you've picked out there is the 225, which is the Kelbrae Holloway's Hurdle, which is a Grade 2 limited handicap over the 2 mile and 3 furlong trip. And the Sky Farmer is in unbelievably good form at the moment. Comes here on the back of 4 successive wins, and he's going to attract a lot of attention on Saturday, isn't he?
He is. I'm finding it hard to see past him, to be honest, Mark. As you know, obviously, was very keen on Sky Farmer when he won at Cheltenham. I think this horse has got the potential to be the graded animal, possibly Grade 1. He was very impressive at Cheltenham for several reasons, really. I think the trip was on the sharp side for him. Dickie Johnson dropped his whip going into the last. Didn't really make a blind bit of difference. The horse's momentum was taking him along. He beat Livius, who, of course, scored at Kempton the other day, and they were 27 lengths clear of their nearest rival. He was raised from 123 to 140, so the handicapper obviously is seeing the same sort of things that I am. He faces a few sort of smart rivals here. You've got Manella for Fitness. Obviously, he's got to give him £5. He did win an Irish point on soft ground, scored at Aintree in April. You've got Thomas Crapper in there. Obviously, just failed in the Cheltenham hat trick that he was going for. I think Cheltenham plays much more to his strength. You've got Imperial Leedler in there as well. Now, I'm quite surprised to see him declared, because they sort of, all last season they were saying that he would improve for better ground, and obviously he's not going to get that that better ground here tomorrow. Irish Shaint was second to Rolling Star in the Triumph Charles Day last January at Cheltenham. No problems going through the ground. But I just I can't see past the Sky Farmer. I honestly think that this horse could be a future superstar. You've got to get back in line in there as well. Fully expect him to pop up at some stage. But, yeah, I'm finding it very, very, very hard to see past him.
OK. What do you make of Manila for Fitness, who racked up a hat-trick earlier on in the year? Well, last season, really. Finished the season finishing second at Sandown. Was a listed winner last year as well. What do you make of him on reappearance?
Look, yeah, he's entitled to all the respect. And like I said there, when I went back through his form, I was initially thinking, will he go through this? He did win an Irish point on soft ground. I honestly think the Sky Farm is the better horse. Obviously, his win at Aintree was officially described as good to soft, but to my eye, it was actually good there. He's there on 11.10. Sky Farm is on 11.5. That is right. But I think even though the Sky Farmer was absolutely shot up from 1.23 to 1.40, I think there's more to come. I think you're looking at a horse that probably come the end of the season is going to be posting in sort of 1.160. So with that in mind, I can honestly see him finishing in front of Manila for Fitness.
Okay. On to the next race we're going to look at then. This is, we'll go to Haydock for the next one, the 240. A champion hurdle trial, a grade two contest over 2 miles. And Petit Zig is there at the top of the weights and looks to hold decent claims. You could also say the same about Melodic Rendezvous, who until last time looked progressive enough and looked as if he could state a claim for the champion hurdle. And then it's going to be massive prices, really, barring those two, isn't it? Do you see it as a match between them?
Absolutely, very much so. Obviously, Petit Zig and Melodic Rendezvous are the only two in the field that actually have an entry in the champion hurdle. If we start with Petit Zig, I think this is a real tough customer. He ran an absolute storm of a race in the Ladbrook on desperate ground at Ascot, third in the Fred Winter at the festival last year, won the four-year-old grade one hurdle in Otoy. I think he really is looking like the real deal, and obviously this year's champion hurdle is absolutely exceptional, but I expect this horse to be like a champion hurdle contender for the next few seasons, really. Melodic Rendezvous does get the £4 from Petit Zig. Both horses will adore the ground. I know I've said it's an exceptional champion hurdle, but I can totally see Melodic Rendezvous actually fighting out the placings. I don't think he'll win, but I think he'll be involved in the shake-up. He's got a mix of speed and stamina, which, whatever the going at Cheltenham, is going to play to his strengths. I think you can put a line through the Newcastle run. He had a problem. That wasn't him. You can forgive one bad run in a horse. I honestly think that this horse is the real deal. He got dropped £3 from that. And it's between those two. You've got, like you just said, Mark, you've got Actor Kalanisi, If and But Why Not, Desert Cry, Jumps Road. They're all very good handicappers, but I honestly can't see them troubling the two market leaders here. Jumps Road did run a decent race in the international, and obviously Pilot caused some interference there. It's between the two. My narrow nod goes to Melodic Rendezvous, but I think Petit Zig is a horse with a serious future.
Okay. One thing about, well, definitely about Melodic Rendezvous as well, if it is heavy ground testing conditions, it's not going to bother him either, is it?
Not at all. You saw him win at Cheltenham last year in desperate ground, and the ground when he beat Puffin Billy at Exeter, as you know, Mark, you know, that we were racing on heavy ground in this country almost right up until Aintree last year. You know, the going was absolutely desperate. This won't inconvenience this fella at all. And I can see him fully playing a part in the champion hurdle. It's on a mark of 1.52. Obviously, they say to factor in a champion hurdle, you need to be 1.70 plus. But I just think that's a very lenient mark for him, really. Okay. I think there's still more to come. I think Petit Zig is a very, very exciting young horse. If you think about, he would have still been 4 years old when he was fighting out there in the Ladbroke. I mean, well, he really is. As I've just said, that he's tough. He's got a serious future.
He has, and we'll find out more about those two then on Saturday at Haydock. And the big race on Saturday is the 3:35 at Ascot, the Clarence House Chase, a Grade One over 2 miles and 1 furlong. And we've got betting on site as well, so I'll just relay that to you. No surprise to see Syed Agrugi at the top of the betting. He's 5-4 at the moment. Summersby 3-1, Hidden Cyclone 7-2, Days Hotel 12s, Corto Stone 14-1, Wazard and Wee is 16-1, and Lancetto is 33-1. So Syed Agrugi then 5-4 favourite. Obviously won the Tingle Creek, didn't he? And then followed up in the Desert Orchid Chase at Kempton. Do you think he'll back up again here?
I'm kind of torn, Mark. Obviously, Syed Agrugi, if Sprinter Sacra wasn't around, he would be the top 2 miler in the country. He's versatile on ground. The only place he seemingly doesn't run entirely to his form is Cheltenham, but still puts in a decent exhibition there. First time ever facing Ascot, and he meets Summersby in the Tingle Creek. But I'm actually siding with Summersby purely on his Ascot form. He beat Finnan's Rainbow in this very race in 2012. Got involved in a short head finish with Mastermind of the year before. Won the Holden Gold Cup on his reappearance, and it would be a beautiful story for Summersby to win this. Obviously, with the recent passing of Terry Biddlecombe, I think there wouldn't be probably a dry eye in the house if Summersby was to take this. He loves it around Ascot. Obviously, Shark Hannon is making a lot of vibes about Hidden Cyclone. And I remember seeing Hidden Cyclone win a Grade 3 at Leopardstown 3 years ago, thinking that he was actually a future star. And he had all manner of problems since then. Third in the Paddy Power off an absolute featherweight of 10-2. I think Shark was pretty aggrieved about his second to Beneficent at Leopardstown at Christmas in the Grade 1. Feels that the interference cost him the race. Obviously lost on appeal. He had a Arvika sizing Europe and Bailey Green all behind him. I wouldn't be backing him here, but I still have an interest in him because of the early promise that I thought he had. Go back through the field, he got Days Hotel, admirable grade two stalwart, ground no problem with him, but I just don't see him as a Grade One performer. And then you've got the likes of Corto Stone. I think the wheels have come off the bus there slightly. Lancetto, very good handicapper, but don't see him as a Grade One performer. And Wazud Nui, obviously the admirable former winner of the Grand Annual. I'm going to side with Summersby, Mark, purely on his Ascot record. But look, it's between the two of them, isn't it? It is a bit of a matchup. As I've said, interesting to see how Hidden Cyclone gets on.
Okay, Summersby then in the Clarence House Chase, and as you mentioned there, it would be a rather poignant win, wouldn't it, as well, for Summersby, so that would be nice to see. Let's just have a quick summary then, if you wouldn't mind, Catherine, spinning us through your selections one more time for Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we go with the handicap hurdle, the 225 at Ascot, I will be with the Sky Farmer and Champion Hurdle Trial at Haydock. I think it's a fascinating match between Petit Zig and Melodic Rendezvous, but just a narrow nod to Melodic Rendezvous. And in the Clarence House Chase, I will go with Summersby.
Good work. Thank you very much, Catherine. Good luck with those selections, and enjoy Saturday's racing.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go then, the selections of Catherine Fry for Saturday's racing. Then a good Saturday to look forward to, with good racing at both Ascot and Haydock over jumps. There's also jumping at Taunton and all with the racing from Lingfield as well, so good racing to look forward to this Saturday. We'll be live on Racing Radio from 12:05 PM with Mick Norton, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Gareth Topham in the studio. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.